Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The word of God that we'll consider this morning takes us back to the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter, beginning with verse 6, as follows. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus, who is our only source of the water of life, dear friends in Christ, what comes to mind when you think of a desert? Perhaps the first image is of Death Valley, California. Or maybe you think of the arid sands of the Sahara in northern Africa. Both are very hot, dry places. But the prize for the absolute wasteland goes to a place you may never have heard of, the Atacama Desert in South America. Straddling Peru and Chile, this desert lies along the coast of the Pacific, and runs for about 100 miles north and south, or 600 miles north and south, and 100 miles wide. Parts of it are without vegetation of any kind. The average annual rainfall in the Atacama Desert is 4/100ths of an inch per year, and there are places in the center of the desert where rain has never fallen in recorded history. One might not realize it, especially when we're experiencing wet weather as we are in the last few days. But you and I live in a desert as well. It's a spiritual wasteland of sin and unbelief, a society that is offended by the gospel of Christ crucified and that looks down upon and despises those who worship him. All the more reason why we Christians, especially during this final season of the Christian church year, look forward to the glorious final day when, according to our theme, the ransomed of the Lord return. For then, a lush garden will replace desert wasteland. As we saw last time, Isaiah's prophecy here has both an immediate and a remote fulfillment. He's talking in the near term about the refreshing times that will come when the exiled children of Israel will return to their homeland and rebuild their temple. But the more remote and absolute fulfillment of this prophecy lies still in the future. It will happen when the physical and spiritual desert of this world is replaced by the lush and verdant garden of the world to come. And this might be a good place for each of us to do a little introspection, for each of us to admit that the desert isn't all on the outside. You and I can be pretty parched and barren right in here as well, can't we? For even we believers remain afflicted by the sinful flesh, that stubborn old Adam that spoils all our service to God and taints all our actions. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. And take a look at our lives, where there ought to be abundant hundredfold fruits of faith done out of gratitude to our Lord. We often see to our shame and distress just a few measly stalks sticking up out of a parched and arid earth, stunted by our own weakness and blasted by our sin. We hunger for righteousness. We thirst for the water that will quench our need for forgiveness and also nourish that tender plant of our Christian life. We know where the solution lies because our Lord Jesus himself has told us, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up to everlasting life. Jesus gives the water of life. It's the pure, refreshing gospel that tells you that you, yes, even you, with all your sins and with all your shortcomings and failures, even you can count yourself among the ransomed of the Lord because of what Jesus did for you. That water of life is what refreshes and renews your soul. And it's also what causes the tender plant of your Christian life to grow up and bear abundant fruits to God's glory. And the water that Jesus gives is what guarantees to you, the ransomed of the Lord, that you will one day arrive at your spiritual home in heaven. Did you know that sin has afflicted not just the spiritual world, but the physical world of creation as well? You might not think of it when you wake up on a crisp fall morning here in western Wisconsin and see the beautiful fall colors at the height of their blazing glory. You might not think it, but it's true that compared to the lush and perfect garden that the Lord has prepared for us in the next world, even this world's greatest beauties fade to nothing. For when sin came, not only was man cursed because of it, but creation was as well. Paul says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." The Apostle Peter tells us that everything we see around us in creation will be burned up and destroyed and replaced. The heavens will be dissolved, he says, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. A new heavens and a new earth. That wonderful place is the place that Isaiah envisions in our text for today. He says that when the ransomed of the Lord return, a lush garden will replace desert wasteland. If you've ever flown into Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix, Arizona, you may have been struck, as I always am, by the way that the grays and browns of the surrounding desert as you approach the airport are suddenly replaced by the brightest emerald green of the city itself. Phoenix used to be part of that desert. It has no water of its own, but imports huge amounts of water from the remote Colorado River. Its streets are lined with citrus and palm trees. It has over 80 well-watered golf courses. It has over 300,000 swimming pools. Phoenix truly was transformed from a desert wasteland into a lush garden spot. But amazing as that transformation was, that's nothing compared to the glories of the new heavens and the new earth that the ransomed of the Lord will return to. Our text says, "For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water." A lush new Garden of Eden is going to replace the parched and thirsty wasteland in which we now live. And we believers, by the grace of God, you and I are going to see that with our own eyes. Can you imagine? May God speed that day. Amen. We'll conclude with stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn 660.